Go for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Also, be aware the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers.
Give me 2 eggs. So, tomorrow I got nothing.
Do you believe that everybody should be born poor 1 week of their life? 1 week.
As you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago. And a year ago, I was hit by a truck.
There's a feeling in the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good. And I like it when we had our own beds and different. And when we get our new house, I'll be so happy when I have my own.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth, who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence. Guillermo Mesh here, Without a Roof radio program. I'm ecstatic to announce this. I actually have in my hands Homeward Street Journal, March, April 2017. It's a street newspaper out of Sacramento celebrating their 20th year. And we have an agreement with them that we're going to distribute 500 copies every time this hits the press, every other month. So March, April. Next time will be May, June. And we have our own page called The Chico Vibe, where we're going to be covering issues of homelessness in Chico and the surrounds. In this edition, I have a letter I had penned, Strategies for Reducing Homelessness in Chico, that went to City Council. And I have a beautiful poem from Writing for Donuts titled My Pack Still Roams. And this edition of the show, Without a Roof Show, we're going to hear from nearly every single person who wrote an article in this paper, this edition, March and April. And we lead the show with Jess Candela, facilitator for Butte County Youth Advisory Council here on People Powered Radio. All right, Guillermo Mesh here for the March 15th Without a Roof radio program. And I'm real pleased to have here in the production studio, Jess Candela. She's an intern at BCOE School Ties Program and a student at Chico State studying political science and gender studies. Welcome to KZFR, Jess.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Anything else we need to know about Jess Candela before we dig into your role as a facilitator of the Butte County Youth Advisory Council, Jess?
Well, I just started out at BCOE in January, and I'm really happy to be there and kind of jumping right into homeless education. I'm really excited about it.
Maybe you could give our listeners just a little thumbnail on what a day in the life of the trailer down there for School Ties in South Chico looks like.
Definitely. So I'm starting a new program. We're doing a Back to School Connect program in August, which will be kind of this one-day fair for K through 12 youth who are experiencing homelessness or poverty or foster care to go down and get some school supplies. So I've been doing lots of community organizing around that, as well as doing the Youth Advisory Council that we'll be talking about here today.
Why don't you, let our listeners know what the Butte County Youth Advisory Council is and what they're doing.
Definitely. So we've had 3 meetings so far. We meet biweekly on the first and third Tuesday of every month at 3 p.m. at 6th Street Center for Youth. Everyone is welcome to join. Our group members are youth between the age of 14 and 25 who have experience with homelessness, foster care, poverty, incarceration. And basically what the role of the group is to develop well-being and leadership skills for the members and then go out into the community and promote the youth and their stories and what their thoughts are on youth experiences and youth homelessness in the greater Chico area as well.
Well, let me ask you a question, Jess. This is a term I've kind of coined, as I don't think at-risk is strong enough. So I literally designate folks that are literally homeless, living under a bridge is in risk. They're not at risk, they're in it. They're living under a bridge. I mean,
Definitely.
What would you say to something like that?
Definitely. I think the youth have really opened my eyes to that a little bit more and talk about the daily experiences they face of trying to find somewhere to sleep, of trying to find their next meal, of trying to not be arrested or harassed by the police. It really is. They're in these really in-risk situations. And it's a day-to-day life survival struggle that they're facing.
As you guys have met three times, have you got any timelines? Have you got some stuff you're doing physically?
We do have we're doing. Well, yeah, we're excited. We put it on a description of our council. We started a Facebook page. You can go look us up at BC Youth Advisory Council on Facebook if you want to follow what we're doing. Our first big event is that we'll be presenting at the Greater Chico Homeless Task Force meeting on March 21st, which is a Tuesday. And the meeting runs from 10 to 12, and we'll be presenting around 10:30. And that's just us introducing ourselves and kind of providing some suggestions of changes we want to see in the Greater Chico area as well.
Actually, this is the Homeward Street Journal edition. And I talked to Jess. I'd showed her this new edition of the Homeward Street Journal. It's a street paper that's been 20th anniversary this year, 97. Shout out to Sacramento. But we're going to have a full page every other month. Every other month they ship this. This is the March-April edition. But we have an open strategy for reducing homelessness that I had penned. And it's called the Chico Vibe. And we've got a 6th Street Center for Youth piece in there. But what I talked to Jess about was literally it fits into what you'd said about giving them a face and a voice. I'd like to see if you can write an article. We'll have it printed in the street journal for the May and June edition. What do you think about that?
I think that'd be great. I think it'd be great to have the youth and their voices in all forms of media. We're going to be presenting in person. We're going to be doing some radio shows on Facebook, and then also in a print edition of the paper, just getting the word out every way we can about what these youth face and what they want to see the direction of the community go in.
I would have almost maybe forgot. But who could forget the big one of the big reasons we're meeting today is Jess is going to be our host of the Without a Roof radio program last Wednesday of every single month.
That's right.
How excited are you about that? And what kind of things are we going to hear on the radio, Jess?
I'm really excited about it. I think it's a great opportunity to get this voice out for the youth. And we'll be talking about youth experiences and homelessness and poverty, following national news stories, looking at local news stories, as well as having guest speakers on who are youth, as well as practitioners in the community who work on these issues as well. So I'm really excited about it. Thanks for the opportunity.
I'll give you 60 seconds if you could kind of give us an elevator pitch on why you're so excited about Butte County Youth Advisory Council and why folks should help and get involved.
Definitely. I think it's a really great opportunity to have a youth-led council. We have different task force and councils of practitioners, so people who work in the field of homelessness, working on these issues. But having specifically this council of youth to develop their leadership skills, their personal well-being, and their kind of lobbying skills in the community to really share what they want to see happen, I think is really unique and a really awesome opportunity. And we've had some really excited youth so far. It'd be great to have monetary donations. We're sending two youth down to a Taking Action conference in Sacramento in April. And that's all expenses paid by us. We have a grant, but we always need more help for getting all of our ideas out there and funding the program. So it'd be great to have any kind of help that people want to help out with.
What's the best way for them to connect with you? Through the Facebook page, or is there another way?
Yeah, so Facebook page at BC Youth Advisory Council as well. You can send an email to bchrytf@gmail.com. And that's the email for the Butte County Homeless and Runaway Youth Task Force. That is kind of the overall advisory committee for our youth council as well.
All right, Homeward Street Journal, Volume 21, Number 2, the first one that has the Chico Vibe in it, which is covering homeless issues here in Chico, California. And the headline, March-April 2017, is Sacramento Advocates Protest Homeless Deaths by Nikki Jones. 3 deaths too many, called out the demonstrators in front of District 4 Council Member Steve Hansen's Alkyla Flat Home one dark night late in January, marching there after a vigil outside of City Hall. In the preceding 2.5 weeks, 3 Sacramento residents living outside, Natasha, Michael, and Vinny, had died. The last 2 on City Hall property. All right, I'm pleased to actually right now to transition to a pre-recorded interview with the author of this piece, Nikki Jones from Sacramento. Hey, Guillermo Mash here for the March 15th Without a Roof Radio program, the Homeward Street Journal, March-April edition. It's my pleasure to have Nikki Jones on the line from Sacramento. Welcome to KZFR, Nikki Jones.
Yeah, hi, Bill. Thanks for having me.
I've been real blessed. I had a chance. We're going to actually start with Safe Ground Stake Down, but I had a chance to spend a lot of quality time with Nikki at Safe Ground Stake Down in 2014. And you gave me a tour of Wind Youth Services about, oh gosh, it must have been a year ago. So thanks for all that you do in Sacramento, Nikki Jones.
Yeah, absolutely. I do remember you spending time out at the Right to Rest occupation of City Hall. That was so great.
So let's start with that, Nikki. Tell our listeners about Safe Grounds Takedown, Art, Music, Earth to Action, April 1st, 2017. What's up with that?
Absolutely. So we're hosting this event. It's a day of solidarity with the National Coalition on Homelessness's call to action around the need for affordable housing, the end of anti-homeless laws, you know, the decriminalization of homelessness, and in our case, the need for community encampments and safe space to exist as someone whose means dictate that they live outside. So it's going to be beginning April 1st, Saturday, April 1st, be opening the gates at 10 a.m. And we have workshops, art making, open mic. We'll have press conference, marches, all kinds of activities that people can take part in to learn about these issues, to learn from people who are experiencing homelessness or formerly experiencing homelessness, truly as the voices that are being uplifted and focused on, and hearing those perspectives.
Awesome. That's going to be at 12th and C Street, and that's organized by Sacramento Homeless Organizing Committee. Thank you for that, Nikki.
Just really quickly, and also the Sacramento Homeless Youth Task Force Youth Council has also been a major part of organizing, and going to be some of the main campers at the event are going to be our young folks who are experiencing homelessness, adding a lot to the content, and also really excited to learn and be a part of the larger community.
Oh, that's a wonderful thing. Youth homelessness, man, we can't know and do enough about that, for sure.
So yeah, it's absolutely the case. It's a crisis.
So let's transition to Sacramento Advocates Protest Homeless Deaths. So you wrote this wonderful article. I was going to use the word beautiful, but when we're talking about people dying on the streets, that just seemed like the wrong term to use. But there's a lot of informative information here, and you know, I'm going to actually, by now the listeners have heard the first paragraph from that essay, but I did want to talk a little bit about Mayor Steinberg. So, you know, there's a new mayor, and you know, is this guy all talk, no action, somewhere in between? What's going on?
Yeah, I would say not so dichotomized that way. You know, I think Mayor Steinberg has a lot of intention to do something about this issue that he sees of homelessness. But I think that's kind of where the problem lies, is that he's coming at it from the perspective that he sees it. And he's bringing solutions that he feels, you know, even almost individually, are the right direction to go. And, you know, we have community members who have been brainstorming and advocating and working on, in their own communities, solutions and, you know, life-saving, mitigating measures for years. And so I really think something that Mayor Steinberg could do for his sincerity to go a long way in terms of impact on the community in a positive way is to listen to the voices of people experiencing homelessness, to listen to their advocates, to hear that, you know, people need an end to criminalization. People need a safe place to have a tent, to maintain stability and privacy. And, you know, these are the solutions that are coming from the people. And these are the steps that we could take, you know, and looking at budget cut from HUD upcoming, you know, we see even more that the mayor's plan around moving around vouchers for people experiencing homelessness is, you know, going to be all too ineffective in terms of impact when we see that they're thinking no new vouchers. They're going to have no new vouchers based on the funding projections. You know, Mayor Steinberg, I think he does want to do something, but I think that his perspective could be more rounded in terms of just, you know, there's a lot of energy to clean up downtown, you know, especially as the rivers have risen. There are more folks in the downtown area staying outside, and there are still zero bathrooms. There is still zero access to any public or private space that is legal to be in and to have your property, your survival property and your personal belongings. You know, the anti-camping ordinance makes it illegal to have those things and illegal to be in public or private space. So that's been the answer in the park and at City Hall. The word from the people is that the cops are enforcing the ordinance more in the last 2 weeks or month or so since the rivers have risen and people have been out. So once again, we're seeing from the city the response to increased visible homelessness and the impacts that come with human existence are to criminalize instead of address this as the social health issue that it is. You know, there's been an attempt to open shelters, emergency warming centers, a couple around town. What we've seen with these is that they are posting police at the door and searching people on their way in. It takes an hour and a half to get in because of this process. Further stigmatizes, you know, it could be undue violation of folks' rights. And to get shelter, though, folks, you know, will subject themselves to this.
Before I transition to the Renee Newton piece, I can say the same things are happening here, Nikki. I had a chance to speak with the executive director of the Housing Authority here, and he's stating, based upon his look at the budget, the way it's laying out, he doesn't think he's going to be able to do any vouchers this year. He's quit giving out vouchers, Section 8 vouchers, and he doesn't think he's going to give out any in 2017.
Right, absolutely.
It's just absurd.
That's what they've said here locally in Sacramento.
It's absurd. So, you know, folks just need to know, man, there's not just not enough housing. We're in a housing crisis. But let's shift to this beautiful piece you wrote. Renee Newton brings homeward kindness to Sacramento County residents. Renee Newton is a lady that is experiencing family homelessness. She has a couple of teens and she's a homeward street vendor. So maybe 60 seconds or so about how beautiful Renee is and how things are going for her.
God, yeah. You know, Renee is so lovely and I have the wonderful opportunity of sharing in the weekly shock meetings with Renee, and so she's an active member of, you know, the Sacramento Homeless Organizing Committee, as well as a vendor, a distributor of the Street Journal. And yeah, Renee's more than words. Yeah, just like energy, positive perspective, keeps us really grounded and looking forward. And, you know, you can really see that in Renee's story, that's been one of the, you know, key characteristics that has proven effective in her life. And it really benefits our whole group. And yeah, Renee's doing well. She's currently housed in a permanent type of setting with her family, and they're really wonderful young folks. She brings them out to events. So I've had the privilege of meeting them a couple of times. But yeah, Renee works really hard and does a fantastic job.
All right, Nikki, any quick closing comments?
You know, I'd say the one last thought on the former issue around budget and housing is that more and more what we're seeing with this housing market being the way it is, impacted, rents skyrocketing, wages stagnant, you know, folks struggling, we're seeing that conventional housing and especially market-based approaches like the voucher system, though it's public funding, it is a market-based approach, we're seeing that these are going to be ineffective more and more moving forward. They're ineffective now. Look at, you know, this housing crisis is actually caused by the ineffectiveness of the housing market and our safety nets to ensure access to safe and affordable housing. And so we're already in that crisis. We're going to see that crisis widen and grow. And the time now, more important than ever, to put our support behind and, you know, our dollars and our hearts behind self-determined grassroots survival strategies. And, you know, in Sacramento and in a lot of places, that includes a tent city. That includes the ability to have a tent, a sleeping bag. These are things that help people survive in any type of weather. And we need to not cut off people's access to survival in a time where systemically we're seeing that housing is absolutely not available.
Thanks so much for all that you do, Nikki Jones. And we'll talk again soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, thanks for all your work.
Sick on the Streets by Suzanne Hastings. Right before New Year's Eve, while I was waiting for the Sacramento Homeless Organizing Committee meeting to begin, a very sick woman was sitting on the bench in the legal clinic. She had been released from Sutter General with pneumonia. Her breathing was very labored, and she had to lay on the bench. A woman who works as a receptionist in the clinic was trying to find her a place for shelter, but having no luck because everything was closed for the holiday. Although finding housing for people is not the hospital's job, it seems that unhoused people who are sick are just pumped full of antibiotics and dumped back out on the streets again. Some hospitals seem to have a policy that you have to be seen 4 times at an ER before you are assigned a social worker. These visits are expensive and usually come back on the taxpayer. About a year ago, a man in a wheelchair was apparently patient dumped at Loaves and Fishes Old Friendship Park. No one could find him after that or knew what became of him. Once again, the unhoused are deemed not that important. Many who are seriously ill and unhoused are released early back out onto the streets where they are exposed to the elements and can become even sicker, even die. especially when they are not given the right to rest. There needs to be a place where the unhoused sick can recover their health. But a sad reality is we live in a system that values profits over people. All right, so it's my pleasure. I have Suzanne Hastings. She's on the phone right now. And welcome to KZFR, Suzanne Hastings.
Thank you. It's great being here.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. And thank you so much for penning that story, Sick on the Streets, in this edition of the Homeward Street Journal, Suzanne. I see this stuff all the time. I live pretty close to Enloe Hospital, the hospital here in Chico. So
I thought it was very important to share with the community because I feel like healthcare has become available, like a lot of stuff. It's becoming available only to those that can really afford it. It's like it's on the table, and, you know, if you don't have the money, fine. It's like go out in the street and die. It's just, I have to say that it seems to me that there's just profit over people, and it's just very tragic in our modern world, especially with the new presidential administration coming in. It's talking about cutting health care, which has me very concerned.
And, you know, I know I've done a little bit of work in Enloe, and it's really difficult on the social workers, even the hospital, because, you know, let's just say that nearly everyone that's at the hospital doesn't like having to discharge people to the street with no place to go. I mean, what would you say to that?
I think if I was a person working in a hospital and I had to discharge a sick person to the street with no place to go, I would just feel like a piece of you-know-what for having to do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's out of their hands. It's beyond their control. But like I said in the article, it is not possible's job to house people. And, you know, finding a place for people to go to triage when they're sick, especially when we've had such bad weather like we had this past winter, it's just really tragic that, you know, it's like to bring people in and just keep them alive for a short time, and then you just put them out to die. Like if you found somebody shipwrecked out in the ocean and you brought them on your ship and said, well, we don't have any room for them, let's just throw them overboard. That's pretty much how that seems to be. And I realize it's not the social worker's fault. It's not a lot of people's fault. It's just the fact that we have a very broken system. And I think that everybody has to do something to try to change it, because you never know when you're going to be that person.
Or your mom or your dad or an aunt or an uncle, cousin,
yeah,
sister, brother, or a friend, someone in your life, right?
Yeah, somebody that you love can be put in a situation where they have no place to go when they get out of the hospital except back out on the street. And then, of course, you know, they're subject to arrest. They're subject to being robbed. They cannot get warm. They cannot sit down and recover and recoup. But like you can when you have a house and if you're sick, you know, you need to stay in bed and drink fluids and get plenty of rest. But, you know, people out on the street don't really have that option. A lot of times they got to keep moving, and which is hard to do when you're sick.
It sure is. Suzanne Hastings, hey, we're at the end of the time limit here, but it's so good to hear your voice. And thank you so much for all that you do for the houseless folks in Sacramento and for penning this article and other articles in the Homeward Street Journal.
Oh, thank you very much. You know, I do pen them, and I look for stuff that is going on in the community, and I try to shed light on it because I think that's important.
It sure is, Suzanne Hastings. Blessings to you.
And blessings to you. Thank you so much.
All right, page 3 of the Homeward. Here we go. Sister Libby Fernandez leaving Loaves and Fishes to start new service. Sister Libby Fernandez is embarking on a new adventure and a new career, and starting a new organization, Mercy Peddlers. With Mercy Peddlers, we will find Sister Libby and other volunteers riding their tricycles or bicycles around Sacramento to meet homeless individuals where they live, to develop a personal relationship and non-judgmental openness and hospitality. Sister Libby has been the executive director at Loaves and Fishes since 2006 and will remain in her position until June of this year. After serving in the U.S. Air Force for 7 years, she became a Sister of Mercy in 1990 and has been serving homeless people in Sacramento for over 20 years. Sister Libby worked with Mercy Housing, Mary House, and in 2001 founded Genesis Mental Health that provides psychiatric services to homeless men and women. She is now founding another needed service for men and women that are unhoused and unsheltered, often living alone. Be assured that our energy and works of mercy will continue to bless our city. Look for the Mercy Peddlers coming in, correction, August, based on this interview. And here we are with Sister Libby. All right, it's the Homeward Street Journal edition of the Without a Roof radio program, and I have on the line from Sacramento, California, Sister Libby Fernandez, current executive director of Loaves and Fishes. Welcome to KZFR, Sister Libby.
Well, thank you, Bill. I'm always excited to talk with you and follow you and Without a Roof. You guys are the best.
You know, it started all with Loaves and Fishes in Janet Green. I did a picnic for the homeless back in 2012 that Janet helped to promote. And I think you were one of the first people I talked to or interviewed because I started my journey in Sacramento. So I have a warm place in my heart for Loaves and all the work you do as well, Sister Libby.
Thank you. And me too. I just am drawn, as so many people are, to serve those who are experiencing homelessness. And it's just been a fantastic honor to work here at Loaves and Fishes.
So let's touch a little bit upon, you know, how excited you are to start Mercy Peddlers and maybe give us a little logistics on when that's going to start and, you know, what your transition is.
Oh, thank you, Bill. Well, I'm completing my 20 years here at Loaves and Fishes. So I thought, well, you know, where else am I being called to serve? Because I still have passion and energy around serving those who are poor and homeless. So I came up with this idea of Mercy Peddlers because I'm a Sister of Mercy and I love biking. I love being outdoors. And here in Sacramento, we have probably 1,000 men and women experiencing homelessness on the streets, you know, in the alleys, the sidewalks, businesses, parks, you know, and it's just so visible. So I thought, well, why don't I connect and actually do outreach and meet men and women one-on-one as I'm cycling through town? And the way I thought about this is, you know, if I have a tricycle, I can actually build a cabinet and dispense coffee and tea and water and hygiene items and, you know, just come across someone who looks like they're lonely on the streets there and have a good cup of coffee with them and just really dialogue and be and connect and let that person know that I care and that person is of value and worthwhile in our world and really just connect and begin friendships.
Yeah, I know from my working in this space for 5 years, it's just never ceases to amaze me, Libby, how much it lifts people up just to stop and smile and talk to them, you know, in the spaces.
Absolutely. It gets kind of lonely out there.
Yeah, amen to that. So why don't you fill our listeners in on your, you know, when it's going to start up, and I guess you've got a summer of gallivanting in the wilderness is how I'm putting it.
Yes, I love the outdoors, and this is where I find energy and centeredness with God. So I'm going to do a road trip, and I'm going to hit all of my favorite national parks. So I'm going to go to Glacier National Park, Yellowstone, the Grand Tetons, the Badlands, and then come on back through Rocky Mountain National Park and really spend some solitude time and out in the wilderness to get prepared for my new ministry of Mercy Peddlers. And I'm hoping to start that in mid-August, beginning of September. And it's going to be volunteer-based operations. So I'm going to be peddling every day, meeting homeless people one-on-one each day, but also volunteers. So if you're really interested in doing outreach ministry and you have a bicycle or a tricycle, you too can be a Mercy Peddler. And then we're going to hit the streets at different times, at different days, and have a real united strength through Mercy Peddlers.
Thank you, Sister Libby.
All right. God bless you, Bill. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, same here. Bless. Without a Roof radio programs made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the Sierra Nevada Brewing Company, producers of fine beers and ales. Sierra Nevada also offers fine dining at their tap room and restaurant at 1075 East 20th Street in Chico. More information at sierranevada.com. Guillermo Mash here, host of the Without a Roof radio program, which kicks off a trifecta of KZFR Wednesday public affairs programming, airing from 5 to 5:30.
Each week we explore poverty, the worst form of violence, focusing on human beings without a roof.
Thanks for listening. And if you have a roof, be grateful.
Non-Human Radio, hosted by Jeannie Fazzino, talks all things animal rights, bringing you the latest news and interviews with local activists.
Plus book, film, and restaurant reviews and deep discussions of the benefits of veganism.
For humans and non-humans alike, Wednesdays from 5:30 till 6 p.m. The Real Issue, hosted by Sue Hildebrand, digs into topics ranging from elections to environmental protection.
From social justice to economic justice, from the local to the global.
We cover the political part of everything. Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m.
Thanks for listening to
Beat the Power Radio.
This is KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio for